Hi, this is Russ, and we are in Freedom Encounters, the course, the internet course. We are now on page 36 of your notes, if you're using the notes. It's always good to use the notes, write down things, whatever else the Lord shows you, integrate your information and your abilities. Listen, my friends, when we're looking over all this materials, please understand that you also maybe go through warfare, and you'll have to exercise. Sometimes the Lord allows us to be tested so that we can learn warfare. In the Old Testament, I remember a scripture just now offhand where it talked about one generation of the Israelites. They weren't trained for war, and they didn't have the ability for it. And I believe that as we look around as a pastor over all these years, I would say again, in all the seminars and things and places I've been, when I ask Christians if they know their authority or if they have their armor on, when I see the response that two-thirds or more do not know these subjects, that's telling me that the majority of the body of Christ has not been discipled correctly. They're probably not living victoriously, not bearing the kind of fruit they could be bearing. And it's based on that non-discipleship that's been going on, and the spectatorship, you know, mentality that's been going on. Just get saved and go sit in a church and listen. And it's sad. And it's sad when millions could be unleashing the authority of Jesus against a radical evil in our country and on behalf of the souls of men. When those two categories are down to the level of basically nothing, then pretty much you can see that we're in difficult times. So we need revival. We need to know ourselves. And to whom much is given, much is required. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Don't be afraid of that. John the Baptist said, a man only has what he's received from God. Give everything you got. And don't hold anything back. Use everything that God gives you. And God will give you more and more and more. And that's a tremendous thing. Well, we're looking at the second part of section 14 on engaging the demonic, the idea of deliverance. Deliverance, setting the captives free. In this so far, we looked over 7 points to remember. Jesus came to deal with it, knowing your authority, listening to the Holy Spirit, never backing down, adaptive to the process, use the Word of God, being a team if all possible. 6 main areas of demonic battles are demonic possession, demonic oppression, demonic attack, demonic attachment, and now we're going to deal with a subject that, truthfully, I've never heard, you know, really anybody else mention it. In this sense, anyway, I've always called it just piggybacking, where the demonic piggybacks. The demonic is behind the scenes and just with an impulse comes through. It's not about possession. It's not about even attachment. It's the idea that when Peter and Jesus were going along and Jesus knew which way he had to go, and Peter basically got up and said, no, Lord, we're going to go this way. Let's go this way over here. And it was an impulse. And he just literally came out to tell Jesus, you know, to divert Jesus from traveling down the road he was supposed to go. And where did this come from? Now, the neat thing is this. Jesus identified that Satan has thrust that thought in that moment through Peter to divert Jesus. It's just that kind of quickie thing that the enemy will do to just shoot in out of nowhere, to open a door, shoot in a thought, and close the door to go undetected. Well, Jesus clearly had never been outwitted by Satan. That's why I like to say the lamb always runs circles around the dragon. Praise God, right? Well, in this case, immediately Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He spoke directly to Satan. He literally went over the head of Peter to speak directly to what occurred just then in that moment, that impulsive moment. Now, the impulsive moment, obviously, the enemy had to find, you know, the grounds of fleshliness, impulsive fleshliness that was still left in Peter to be able to get that through. And let me tell you something. In your relationship in the body of Christ, I bet you there's been many times where Satan has, or some demonic presence has, by an impulse, thrust through a few words through one of your brothers or sisters, or even your spouse, where it didn't even seem like them. They said something that cut you and hit you, and it didn't even seem like then, and later on them, and then later on you went back to them and began to ask them about it, and guess what? They don't even remember saying it. They don't even remember saying it. Literally, for a moment, that impulse there, they were used. Well, it's very important, because that's why I think a lot of even believers attack each other. And the enemies come through, you know, maybe a weakness in someone's life. They're already depressed about something, and then a thought comes in their head that, you know, some other Christian's mad or betrays them, or they're jealous or whatever, and they get up and they say something that they would usually never say. And the enemy has thrust in one little sentence, one little line to attack and to create, you know, division. It's a tremendous thing to know that process and then be able to deal with that, discern that and deal with that in the appropriate way. You may even feel at times when you're weak or you have your faith is down or whatever else is going on in your life and something happens that irritates you or whatever and you get ready to say something that shoots into your head and you recognize that's from the enemy. That's one of those impulsive, involuntary thoughts and feelings coming into me, not to attack me, but to come right through me to strike the other person. Satan's not worried about getting you at that point. He's wanting to strike somebody else. So when Satan wants to attack somebody else, he may use a believer, another person, or any other person that has some little avenue which he can slide in quickly. Now, another picture of this is in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and Satan was able to literally, well, Peter said later by the Holy Spirit, why have you let Satan so fill? That Greek word is the same word used for us being filled with the Spirit. That Satan literally filled them, because in their hearts there was a wide open gaping hole. Not only the lie that was there about the money and what they did with it, but they conspired together. The Greek word there refers to that they were there to test the durability of the church. The idea that they were to test the durability with the goal of pulling the wool over the eyes of the church. And that's what they were doing. And they had that in their heart and mind. And obviously Satan came right through that wide door of lie and conspiracy to pull the wool over the eyes of the church and to play this game. Obviously, they were not innocent in what they did. They were not innocent in what they plotted. They plotted and planned, you know, lying, secrecy, and conspiracy. And Satan entered that. That's why all those secret societies out there, they're littered with Satan. And all of their plots and plans and so forth, they're littered with the work of the enemy. Well, this is what happens sometimes when Satan wants to get in the church and attack the pastor, attack the deacons, attack somebody who's doing good ministry. And if he can just find somebody that he can slip a few words into, he doesn't attack you direct through oppression or through an attack, through events. Literally, it's kind of a side door thing. You know, I've called this at times a drive-by shooting also, where somebody is just simply a momentary vehicle for the enemy. And if you recognize that, then you don't have to worry about dealing with the individual in the sense of of interpersonal relationships. You know to go over the head. Now, you might find somebody that's really opened the door all the time to the enemy like that. Go over their head. You know, take the authority of Jesus silently, inwardly, and bind that activity and break that activity and pray for the person that they'll become aware of what's happening in their life, that they're allowing through their weakness and fleshliness or whatever for the enemy to come through with words and or an action. That can come when people are in the flesh, whatever else, and they're getting mad, and then they get to the point of, you know, brawling, that idea to where all of a sudden an inspiration from the enemy comes to strike. And even there, and it's because the person opened the door and the enemy was there to push it over the top. But obviously the enemy was working too. So that's that. There's this piggybacking or coming under the table. That's the way the enemy likes to work. So it's always important to pray for the exposure of the work of the enemy. And in our church, when I was pastoring anyway, we were very, you know, we were open about praying that way and nixing things before it can go any further. One thing you and I could do sometimes, even as leaders and counselors and so forth, sit back and ask, Lord, show me if there's ever been a time where the enemy has brought through, he's piggybacked me, where he has literally come through me with a sentence to speak out against somebody and harm and do harm, and it really was him that inspired it through my weakness. Sit back and pray about that, and if you can discern and see that experientially in your life, I think you'll have a better sense of discernment and experiential discernment in seeing it happen in others. Your counselees may say something to you where the enemy is trying to impulsively throw something through. He's using them as a platform to strike out at somebody else. And I would that all of us would pray that Satan would never, we never have the holes and doorways in our lives, that he would ever be able to use us as his platform of attack to others. Attacking pastors, attacking the body of Christ. He's the accuser of the brethren. And what better way can he accuse the brethren by coming, you know, through impulsively some fleshly or weakened brother striking out at another? That's why we got to be very careful. When I hear people attack the church and attack believers and attack everybody else, you know, and attack and attack and attack and attack, who's put that into their head? Well, take authority over the demon. Again, discern and listen to the Holy Spirit about it all. Ask this question, you know, seek what this is all about. Is it diversion? Is it to is this piggybacking to strike out at a spouse in a certain way? Did Satan put a thought into a heart or mind? I heard the other day, again, this has happened many times in marriage, you know, Christian marriages, where I talked to one spouse the other day on the phone, and there was an impulse thing that came right through the mouth of the other one that said they can't wait, that they're going to get a divorce. Well, that never came out of their mouth before, basically, and in the flesh, yes. But Satan can step in through the flesh, especially when we're heated and out of control for a moment. And he looks for that opportunity. He really does. That's what he did with Jesus. He looked for more opportune time. Well, the Spirit of God is here to deal with that, just like in the book of Acts chapter 5, when Peter stood there kind of at the gates of the church and filled with the Spirit of God. You know, it's like, no way, Jose here. And he dealt with Ananias and dealt with Sapphira and he dealt with the demonic, and obviously a judgment of God came in that circumstance, and Satan was literally just trampled in his attempt to sneak in into the early church to bring corruption and lies and to break things down. So command over the head or under the table. I mean, focus on the demonic that you see, you know, going on or hear coming through somebody. Even pray that the person would, you know, become aware that they have allowed the enemy to use them. Pray that the person would repent. Either way, they've gotten to the flesh or some level of weakness they need to deal with. And clear the air. If you feel the attacks come against you, usually the attack is, you know, to clear the air prayer-wise, you know, and then stay on track in the will of God. Don't let what has been said divert you. You can have that happen in ministry at times. Demons love to come through and sharply say something through somebody that you used to trust or you think you should trust, and they were in the flesh, and what they said, you know, I've seen it stop people in ministry. And it shouldn't do that. Satan should not be able to stop anybody with one-liners. So may God give us discernment over those stinking one-liners that the enemy gives, especially when he's piggybacking it through a momentary lapse in an individual's life that strikes out against another. And you got to rebuke the demon, and you got to pray for the Lord to show what just went on, and you got to pray for repentance and so forth and clear the air. Well, that's that area, and you may have a lot to think about there. You might have individual counselees come in, and that's what they've literally been attacked through a spouse or a Christian friend or somebody at work. Even, you know, the enemy can use a boss at work that's angry or mad or impulsive, and the enemy's looking for what angle, what way he can get into the Christian to strike them in some way. So whatever you find is not true that has come, we need to renounce the lies, renounce the satanic diversion, and accept the truth of God in our warfare against the enemy. And again, rebuke the enemy and tell him not to come back and see him trumped. Well, point six on page 36 is a broad area that I think, and again, I'm just telling you that most have not written about and done stuff about yet. I think that we should have had this kind of teaching back in the 60s. Every Christian, it should be Discipleship 101. We should have spiritual warfare teaching, but we should also have this, demonic occult spiritual warfare, signed and sent. Basically, literally, you know, if you ever got a letter in the mail that's a Dear John letter or some kind of letter that attacks you, well, occultic warfare works that way. comes, in a sense, through the air. Kind of like Ephesians chapter 6, the arrows flying through the air. But the issue is, who has opened the doors for those arrows? Who's sending those arrows? And literally, occultists can conjure or whatever you know ritual they use, or whatever avenue of occultism they use, they can release demonic presence with assignment to attack what they conceive and perceive as their enemy. And obviously, you would be the enemy to a lot of Luciferians and Satanists and so forth. With hundreds of thousands of Satanists in the United States and a few million in the world, I mean real Luciferian-styled ones, with all of the cult multiples, SRA and PD, are not just victims. They are victims overall, but inside of them, there's been created those who know how to conjure spirits and do satanic warfare. Anybody who does any kind of studying, even on the web, is going to find satanic groups that are learning spiritual warfare. They even use the terms. Terms I've heard, you know, of cult multiples, satanic warrior monks, about the idea of spiritual blitzkrieg, lightning warfare, to strike a believer or a church with so much thunder from the enemy. A coven likes to just focus on a church and thunder rituals and thunder them constantly. Kind of like the concept of shock and awe, to strike and strike and strike and strike and strike and strike. And when that is occurring and things are being disrupted, that's again where we go to prayer. Sometimes I think we go to prayer and we don't realize that God steps in and protects us, and we don't know all the avenues. But the more we discern things, we may begin to think, and I've seen this now happen in my life, where I begin to think, where is that coming from? There's a difference between just the regular oppression, attacks when the enemy is doing events or whatever, or when there's specifically assigned issues of warfare. And I'm not even going to include here astral projection in that warfare. That's going to be a whole other MP3 for you in this session. That'll also be put into the Black Awakening, and will also be put on the site as a general thing for anybody, because I think we should know about how occultists who know how to astral project, and that only can occur through demonic presence, allowing them to leave their body, when they learn how to leave and go and affect such things as psychic assassinations, psychic, you know, doing whatever kind of harm that a spell, a hex, or some kind of ritual would do. So let's talk about this a little bit. It's the idea of something being sent in, you know, at you, against you. It's a door opened by others. In the Old Testament, the idea of sacrifices and conjuring by pagan nations. All you need to do is study the Philistines, the Zamzumis, the Anakites, the Moabites, all of those nations around, where even the one pagan king sacrificed his own son and his blood on the wall to unleash spiritual powers to defeat Israel. The idea of nations that would be conjuring spirits and doing things to because it works the same. You know, we see it today. We know that's how it's worked in the past. They knew how to do spells and hexes. In Ephesus, Clinton Arnold, Dr. Clinton Arnold from, I believe, Talbot College or Seminary at this point, who wrote a book on the book of Ephesians, that went to Ephesus, where they're uncovering many of these scrolls and amulets and many of these things that in those days, right in the days of the book of Acts, you know, amulets and scrolls and things and certain things that were used to conjure spirits, to have a demon on it, a scroll that had a ritual would be sold to others for money so that they can conjure spirits and have powers and protection rituals, destruction rituals, you know, all kinds. There's all kinds of them. And if you can, if you have done any study at all in the book of Satanic Bible or the Satanic Rituals or any of the deeper level books, I've got some here, Luciferian Witchcraft, and really, really heavy books that deal with rituals of destruction and death and harm and so forth, where the people are taught how to do these things, let alone of those who've come in and have told us, and have shown us, and have given. I've gotten books of shadows of individual coming out of covens that have done stuff against pastors. rituals that involve blood and urine and Bibles and ripping up, desecrating, whatever way they can raise the demons and then assign them. And that can be done in very sophisticated rituals, drawing circles, pentagrams, so forth, power cones and all that, conjuring spirits and having items of yours, and then using those items to kind of put there, and the demons know. In other words, the demons then are sent. Literally, your picture, your hair, things like that could be used. Not, you know, sympathetic magic's a different thing altogether. Whereas this kind of magic with a K was done between Aleister Crowley and Ron L. Hubbard. There was a battle going on between them, and I think one of them did a ritual against the other one's hound dogs and killed them or got them sick. But there's rituals that can literally open the door to the demons. And then they assign the demons where to go and what to do. Now, if you really want to understand this, in the book of Acts, you have this guy named Bar-Jesus. I don't remember when Jesus or when Paul was trying to preach the gospel, and this guy was interfering, and by the Spirit of God, he looked at him and says, "You're always trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord." And a mist fell over his eyes. He went blind. That occultist, that occult sorcerer, he was a Jewish sorcerer, and he went blind. Now, that showed you a power encounter. And if you and I stand in the power of God, those kind of power encounters are going to occur when it comes to people doing rituals against us and occultists that are doing things against us. If any Christian runs, you may be hit up with occult-level warfare. But if you respond back, we have seen again and again and again where the other side is hit up and dealt with. And it's very important that we unleash the powers of the kingdom of God in this process. Revelation chapter 2 concerning Jezebel. Now think about in the early church, and I put down wizards and witches and so forth and spells, and I do understand the difference between Basque and Scottish and Gardenian and so forth. Witches and the current Wicca of today, it's not like a lot of the old witchcraft of Europe and older witchcraft that involved the dark side. Some call it being a black Wiccan. I've heard people say they're a gray Wiccan or white witchcraft and so forth. Well, it's just degrees, same source, but degrees of the powers and the different kinds of rituals. If all you know is rituals to bless people, and that's all you use, you're going to try to do that. But many have learned other kinds, destruction rituals and rituals for many different reasons. And now, more and more and more, as God has unveiled things, Luciferians and others have been doing consistent rituals for a long time. If anybody's read Larry Lee's book about prayer, you couldn't even wait, I think it's like 1 hour. It's a book about prayer, you couldn't wait 1 hour. I forget the exact title. But it involves the idea of 1 hour of prayer. Larry Lee, but he tells in the beginning of the book, and I believe another book he used too, he told the story of being on an airplane and flying to a certain place, and someone next to him he thought was praying, two or three times was praying. And he finally asked the guy what he was doing, and the guy says, "Well, you wouldn't understand." And he says, "Well, I really want to understand what you were doing. It looked like you were praying." Well, the guy said, "Well, yeah, I was praying, kind of, but you don't realize I'm a Satanist, and I am praying, and I'm praying against certain pastors in certain regions that I've been assigned." Can you imagine that on an airplane? There is a man spending time in prayer in a satanic way, praying against pastors that he'd been assigned to pray against. Now listen, since I've interacted with so many undergrounders, I've seen and felt their rituals. They do consistent rituals. They do assigned rituals. They have churches assigned to them. They not only visit them, but they have groups and covens that want to test their powers and to do the warfare. So you've got to understand that there's a lot of warfare that is coming against believers nowadays. And occult-level warfare is really kind of pictured in Revelation 16. When you read Revelation 16 and you see the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet all come together, and all three of them come together kind of in a triangulation. And what happens? Out of their mouths, out of them as the source. Now that's the depiction of a true sorcerer, of a real high-level satanic priest, because they've conjured so many demons and brought them into themselves, they're able to release demons out of themselves. Out of the mouth come demons that look like frogs. That's all John could say. They look like frogs, kind of gnarly looking. And they were sent out. Now notice, to the king, they were sent where? To the kings of the earth. What for? To gather them together. What was the ultimate end of that? How did they do that? They were going to use seducing miraculous signs. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Here we have the pinnacle of a satanic ritual where demons are released, and they're released to a specific target with specific intent, with specific end game. And that's the truth in all kinds of rituals that are going on today. Rituals being done against people. So you might have somebody come in sometime, and or even in your own life, if you discern it and understand it in your own life, especially if you're working, you know, with a, you're leading a lots of Wiccans or pagans. If you're entering into that world of New Agers and specifically Satanists and others and trying to lead them out, then you're going to get warfare. You're going to get demonized personalities that know ancient languages. They can come out and do rituals that are not even in the books anywhere, that they've learned by memory, and they have only by memory, and is only transmitted by memory from one to the next. And they'll conjure demons and whatever else and send them against you and send them an assignment against you. And it's you'll have all three. You'll have the sense of being attacked, oppressed, and harassed. Whenever you have the sense of an immediate burst of attack, oppression, and harassment. Sometimes I've heard Christians say they've literally discerned, and spiritually they've heard somebody chanting, and then they felt some kind of attack or weird presence come into their home or begin to come against them. Now, I can only tell you that God will never allow them to have, you know, greater supernatural abilities. If we're open to the Lord, we're going to be able to see that God is going to, you know, work on our behalf. And the lamb will run circles around the dragon. So I'm not saying that we will not be affected by demonic attack in the sense of occultic warfare, because they are intending it more than ever. More than in Daniel's day, more than ever in history, we are approaching the days where there will be more occultic level warfare in the sense of targeted assignments to bring destruction, to bring whatever else, and to bring the end goal of that assignment. More than ever in history, we're going to see that. And obviously, the enemy's going to come in like a flood. God will raise up a standard, and you and I, by the Spirit of God, will know how to pray, use the authority. Jesus did say to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, including occult-level warfare. But part of that is discerning that. And you may think that just oppression is there, or maybe attack is there. But when it comes, here's what all I can tell you about occult warfare that I understand. When it comes, all of a sudden, it seizes you. All of a sudden, it's just there. A lot of times, 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, and all of a sudden, you feel something hit, or something entered your house, or you need to get down on your knees and begin to pray. Because it has to do when they released it. If they've done rituals from 12, you know, whatever, until 3, or they've ended up with everything at 3 and released things, then it comes to you, you know, and you feel something come to begin to make some kind of attack or assignment on you. I am not about to say that they get their way all the time. I am going to tell you that I believe that they do have effect. And the good news is that if we respond clearly, then we're going to see the great and enormous power of God. And I told you already in these sessions about, I believe, the girl out of Pennsylvania that told us about their forms of warfare, was shocked when I told her about us doing spiritual warfare. I didn't see the person for 3 weeks, but I had taken every bit of information and began to pray against the coven and so forth, that God would intervene, crush the demons and so forth, ultimately for salvation and God to show himself and so forth. Well, this person showed up 3 weeks later and got out of the car. First thing he did was kind of come after me, with anger, saying, what have you been doing, you know, these last 3 weeks? And I knew what I was doing. I was thundering out the prayers in targeted form. I didn't answer, and they said, I just simply said, why? And they said, well, we haven't been able to get a spirit. Basically, they couldn't even get a spirit to show up for 3 weeks. Hardly, she said. And I thought, here we go. Here's how it works. And that Greek word desis in the book of Timothy, chapters 2, when it talks about prayer for all kings and authority and so forth, specific targeted prayer, specific issues. And that's what needs to be dealt with here. Well, whenever I feel attacked, depressed, and harassed, all of a sudden it just bursts upon, comes in, or comes in the middle of the night, that kind of thing, there is a little bit different thing of a sense of scent. And I begin to, in my, you know, prayer or whatever, just, you know, I'm getting up, walking around the house, going to get the coffee, whatever, I begin to say this: who, what, where, when? Who is sending something, Lord? What's it all about? You know, where is it coming from? Where are they? And when did this occur? That's true about counselees that come in, that may come in. And please understand, as brothers and sisters, many Christians now are working with multiples, satanic ritual abuse, and in the beginning, they're getting beat up they're getting beat up left and right. We all know that. They're getting attacked, oppressed, and harassed, and things happening in the middle of the night, and they can't sleep, and all these different things, and they feel things walking in their house and stuff like that. Well, you know what? Occult-level warfare has been released against you. And we ask on the bottom of page 36, what are the events and feelings and thoughts? What are they telling you? What's it all about? There are events going on. There's feelings. There's thoughts. There's a presence coming in. Has anyone given you or sent you any objects in the mail? A letter, a gift, something that has demonic attachment to it that is also sent to bring the assignment, you know, to literally be handed to you, you know, and given to you. Beware of gifts. And I will say this with cult multiples again and again. Upfront personality doesn't know, but the inside demonized personalities, they love to demonize the objects, demonize the gifts, and make it be given to you with a smile, you know, kind of like the Judas kiss. And you take an object that has a demonized presence on it and an assignment, and pretty soon you begin to feel it. And said, if you get that check, if you begin to feel that check, check it out. That's just simply what we need to do. When you get the check, check it out spiritually. And sometimes people have handed me something, and I got something in the mail the other day. And the first thing I do before I even open, I pray against anything demonic, pray against anything on it. When I had that girl that came and was doing satanic prayers against me and rituals, left her two power rings in my pastor's office, stuffed in the side of the couch so that it would have effect against me. I'll tell you another story. You know, I think I already told once too about getting up one time and feeling like just kind of death warmed over, in the sense you've heard that phrase. And I just felt inside, just my whole body was shaky and weak. And I went to church anyway. My wife drove, and I told the congregation how I was feeling, but I knew it wasn't the flu, and I spoke the message behind the pulpit very weakly that morning. I was very weak. After the service, one of the girls that came up that has discernment, at the same time, a cult multiple that we were working with, actually it was the federal officer's wife, the demonized personalities recognized this other girl saying, hey, there was a red spot on you in the middle of your forehead. The other cult multiple said it was a inverted pentagram, and that they've done a death ritual, Russ, against you. And I went home after church, you know, and I prayed some, but I was so weak, I went to bed Sunday afternoon. I didn't wake up till Monday morning. My wife was there, and she'd prayed over me, and I said, you know what? This is not physical sickness. This is something sent against me. I'm going upstairs. I'm going to pray this thing off of me. I went upstairs and began to pray and to pray, and I began to feel better and better. And all of a sudden, I heard a car outside the upstairs window, outside the parking lot out there. And I got up and looked out the window, and there is the priestess of this group and some others sitting there. Literally, they came down to see if I was dead. This is a true story. And this is the one where I got up and went down there after them, and I just came after them, drove after them. They were scared. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I was praying. I was saying, Lord, this is who it came from. And I saw the reason, but it was for real. And I asked the Lord later, and this is just my experience. You'll have to discern this. I've asked the Lord before about this, about midnight, you know, the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning when I felt things have come, or other times where we've felt attack here. Because maybe we might have 10 different groups doing it all at once. We had somebody leave a ritual scroll and some kind of point of contact with out of a coven, heavy-duty underground Luciferians from Palatine, Italy, and others. One time we got in the mail pictured, colored picture of these guys in black hoods with a baby who's been cut open, and it had the phrase, "This blood is for you." It was the Brotherhood out of Pennsylvania, letting me know that they, at least they were claiming they were doing a baby sacrifice, a ritual, they said, in my honor, quote, to do against me. And so there's going to be more and more and more of these kind of things, not that we need to worry. They just simply open other doors, and it gives us a platform to see the power of God demonstrated. Amen? Well, let me just mention a few things on page 37. When I begin to say, Lord, you know, I feel this coming in, or something's coming, I feel something in the air. That's, again, Holy Spirit perception. Maybe the gift of discernment. Maybe you realize things are being sent. When you understand that the scent is there among you, then I'm always asked, what is it for? What's the assignment? In Revelation 16, the assignment for those demons going out to the kings of the earth, it came from the source of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They released those demons in that kind of typical warfare to go directly to those kings of the earth, to use supernatural powers, miraculous signs, obviously deceive and seduce them even more, and to cause them to agree and gather all their armies together. It's the most massive attempt in all of history to bring the armies of Satan together. And that's another story right now. But sometimes the assignment is to plunder you. To plunder your finances, come again, rituals being done against your funds, just to bring harm to you, broken relationship, headaches, to destroy you, destruction rituals, sickness rituals, death rituals, spells that will, you know, cause you to have accidents and mental distress and whatever else. There could be anything they do. They mean just simply whatever they want to do to cause harm, to bring harm against you. And whatever they perceive and the demons inspire them to do, you know, they might get an idea in their head from the demons themselves about the ritual they're going to do and send that out against, you know, you or a person that you're ministering to. What if you're dealing with, you know, a brother or sister in Christ, you're counseling them? What if you're dealing with a cult multiple and they're trying to get out? It's obvious that the coven folks will send warfare against them, will do astral projection, you know, to bring harm to them. And maybe even inside, cult-loyal, demonized personalities may do some kind of ritual to bring harm against themselves, you know, against the body. So in all of this, when we understand, like God gave Daniel all the learning and literature of the Babylonians, he really understood their whole culture, their numerous satanic temples that were there, 56 of them, I believe, in the city, and he definitely knew their whole system, how they worked and what they did. No wonder why he prayed specifically three times a day, and he gave them no course. They found no neglect in his life, that his life was sealed up in his resolve to serve God. And that's why I think he was so protected in such a heavily demonized area. You got to understand, those sorcerers and people that were there that were working in the government were no different than sorcerers today that would want to use their powers against Daniel. And Daniel was able to stand. You've got to know that in nations, there are people that use their powers against others to bring destruction. So whether it's accidents, mental distress, a lot of times headaches, things that are sent against you. And the question is then again, what to do in your questioning and seeking the Lord and getting discernment and looking at all the insight. The number one thing, again, taking authority. Discern spiritually and listen to the Holy Spirit. And here's where you might get even more supernatural insight. There's been times I believe God can give a dream or a vision. Whenever God gives a dream or a vision, like in the book of Acts, it's a message in pictorial form. And it will always jibe with Scripture, like Peter and the sheet that came down, and the clean and the unclean. That was all to show him that the Word of God said the Gentiles are to get the message. It was all to confirm the Word. So please understand, when God gives a dream or a vision, it's always going to jibe totally with the Word of God and backward and forward and so forth. We don't have to play guessing games. But I'm just saying that in the course of this, there's times I prayed and asked the Lord to give me insight, pictures, whatever, show me what's going on, and let me know what's happening. And as I know, then I can respond, then I can adapt. And as I'm, you know, praying things off of me or against the things that I feel coming in, and I've learned to hit them quicker and harder. You know, I learned to hit them quick and hard now, and to come against it fiercely in the name of Jesus and rebuke everything and command them out of here and out of my house and so forth, and you know, have that assignment broken and rendered powerless and so forth. So you take authority and you look for supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit and insight concerning, again, who's doing this, Lord? You know, where is it coming from? When did it occur? You know, did it occur last night in a ritual? Because it gives that information, then gives me how to target my prayers, how to return prayers. And this is what you can help, you know, counselees do, and again, those who are coming out of heavy-duty stuff, how they can deal with occult-level warfare against them. Get the focus of the curse or spell or assignment. Get down what it actually is. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. The demons don't want to tell you. Now, I've had call people come in and tell me or send me a letter later that we did this assignment or we did this against you. But the bottom line is this. In this kind of warfare, I believe, again, as it says in 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8, we got to take our stand. We got to stand firm. You got to stand firm against it, pray against it, renounce and break it, render it powerless. Never succumb to these attacks. You're going to be plundered. You're going to be harmed. You're going to have total broken relationship. Whatever the attack is, comes the communication that it's going to happen and cause you to, you know, collapse under its weight or whatever else. Well, the Lord rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we renounce that. And we break that. And we render it powerless in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we command demons that have brought these assignments to be broken, to be destroyed in their working. Jesus came to destroy Satan's work, and we apply that by the authority of Jesus. And we command those demons to get out, to stop it, to leave. They say, well, they think they have legal right because they were conjured with blood and sent. Well, I have legal right above that because by the blood of Jesus and the cross that Jesus gave his life at and the resurrection, he has given me his authority to triumph, to trample over all that power of the enemy, including occult level warfare, and to unleash this tremendous power of the kingdom of Christ against it, to unleash the cannons, clear the air, just literally pounce on this, trample the script, Jesus said, trample them, crushing them, and seeking the Lord to do the same, seeking Psalm 91 concerning protection. And God just to give you a shield of protection and trusting, you know, what the scriptures say about these areas. And I just want you to be encouraged, though, in the midst of this, that this is a platform for you now to unleash tremendous warfare and so forth. And it can be redemptive in this sense. Pray for those who sent it. I want to know who sent it because I want to pray for them. And there's many times where I've just said, Lord, in every direction, I might feel from nine directions, you know, occult level warfare is coming in at me, coming after me. I really do, from different sections of the country and so forth, different people, whatever. There's times in my general prayers of the day, I'm just praying, saying, Lord, in every single direction, things that are being sent against me, I'm asking you to, in the name of Jesus, we destroy those, render those things powerless. We come against the demons and we break them in the name of Jesus and command their powers to be destroyed, their assignments to be destroyed. And Lord Jesus, we pray right now that you just stretch out your hands backward over onto the people that are sending. And Lord, do whatever it takes to stop them, to shut those doorways. Do whatever it takes. Psalm 83, Psalm 86. Do whatever it takes. And in that process, just like Saul of Tarshish that already had Stephen killed and was breathing out murderous threats, what was the action? The church obviously was praying, but the bottom line there was that God did pounce on Saul of Tarshish. And this is how I see it happen. Either God pounces on them in an incredibly grace-filled, merciful way and saves them, or there's other times like King Herod when the angel came and with a sword struck him. That's right, with a sword he struck him and King Herod died. And I'm here to confess before God and you that I have seen, you know, clearly, in one case clearly, I know it for sure, maybe another now, where an occultist literally, you know, God took him out. God took him out. I don't pray for the destruction and for God to kill people. I don't do it that way. I pray that God stretch forth his hand to bring what the Old Testament says is the terror of the Lord, to bring them to their knees, to encounter them in such a way that they know that God, the living God of heaven, is more powerful and real. And I pray that God will encounter them in such a way, like Saul of Tarsus, that that ultimately God would save them, that they would repent of their sin and get saved. I would rather have somebody call me someday and say, listen, I'm the satanic priest that was in New York, or was in, you know, New Mexico, or was in California, or in Italy, or whatever, doing these things against you again and again, this group, and this is what happened, and God came, and I felt this power overwhelm me, and I realized, and I had this dream that God was calling out to me, and I remembered this verse, and I went to a local store, and I bought a Bible, and I accepted Christ, and repented, and renounced everything, and I just wanted you to, and then be able to interact with that person, and disciple with, and have fellowship. I mean, in the early days, some Christians were afraid of the Apostle Paul because he once was Saul of Tarsus. But God has a way of breaking in that way. And it's an enormous thing. And so that's the first order of business. And I would pray for any of those who have done great harm, you know, great harm. Obviously, Saul of Tarsus has blood on his own head, hands and head, for killing Stephen. And Jesus could have wiped him out, but there were prayers going up, and God invaded him, brought him to his knees, and he did repent and turn to the Lord, and then became a vessel for God. I would rather see that happen in every case. But in some cases, like with King Herod, Pharaoh was an occult leader of the Old Testament. Pharaoh was a worshiper of demonic God and presence. It was one of the most demonized, it was a nation birthed, maybe even out of the knowledge of the Nephilim, was there in those days. And so we have a nation that was the type of Satan himself against the people of God, and not letting, wanting to let them go and keep them in bondage and keep them in servitude and use their lives and not let them come to the promised land of God. And God had to demonstrate his powers. When he demonstrated his powers with the frogs and with the flies and all those, each one of those signs that came was striking a specific demon god of ancient Israel, or not ancient Egypt, of what the Pharaoh, those, they would know their gods, the frog, the fly, and so forth, the blood, the god of the Nile, when the blood occurred, that was all really an attack showing their destruction, that Yahweh had power over them. And I read in the historian Josephus, a Jewish historian, he writes about King Herod in the book of Acts, that King Herod filled up with worms and died 5 days later. Well, the word of God says simply an angel struck him, book of Acts. And you can read that. And sometimes I have prayed where I know that they're going to harm children and do things, and they're so evil. And so I said, God, whatever it takes, I pray for this salvation. I pray for, you know, this to stop and that to stop. But I also going to pray whatever it takes to stop them from slaughtering. We have two young girls here in this area that we're still working the case. A little Kathy and little Sarah, both of them were brought into a ritual by primarily an individual called Multiple, who was used to just, he did a ritual in which, it was a prolonged, torturous ritual that would have horrified them and terrified them, to draw blood and sexual energy and physical terror and fear and the energy from that, and conjure power until he finally killed them so that he could absorb all the demonic power to empower himself, to purify his own blood, Luciferian or demonic blood. And he's still out there. And I, at this point, I'm saying, God, whatever it does, if you know, if he's going to do this to another girl, I would rather God take him out than him to do that to another girl. And I have no problem with that. But I do pray for his redemption. Our team has prayed for his redemption for many, many times. The one fellow that we know for sure that God took out completely, that died, we had 8 of his victims, sexual victims that he did rituals on, that he split their personalities, that we tried for a number of years to get to him. We offered him to come in for counseling. We tracked him, and he did so much harm that now they say there's up to 200 sexual victims of this one rogue. Some called him a rogue cult multiple that he got out of order, but he was sure doing a lot of harm. Well, bottom line, he even did rituals and did stuff against us. And there's covens that do. There's all kinds of groups that are going to do. So I pray that God will visit them. May God, like King Abimelech in the Old Testament, may God visit them. He was a pagan king, non-believing king. And God visited him with a dream that gave him a warning. God sent a dream. Numerous times in the Old Testament, God sent a dream to non-believers. And I believe that happens nowadays. You can hear that with missionaries all over, and especially with missionaries that are dealing with imams and radical Islamic Muslims, where they're praying for God to break in, and some of them are having some dreams that tell them to go to the missionaries and hear about Christ. And it's very important that we understand this incredible supernatural work. Well, I pray that God stops them. I pray that God does what is necessary. I pray as the Holy Spirit would give specific, strategic, you know, what God do you want me to say in prayer? Just like the Holy Spirit said to Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8, go stand over there by that chariot. Well, even in your prayer time, the Spirit of God can be telling you, showing you how to pray when it comes to occult level warfare. To pray them down. Don't be surprised if they send you a note or they show up sometime and say, what are you doing? You know, or they come to see whether their occultic warfare, their spell, curse, hex, whatever they've done, ritual, if it's, you know, destroyed you or taken you out or whatever else. Or if they look at you and they see you going through the battle, but you're standing faithful and you're standing strong. Well, when you're counseling individuals, especially SRA MPD multiples, you will become a target for occultic level warfare. They are going to be a target. And the higher up any of those people are that you deal with, probably the bigger the target you're going to become when it comes. So let me encourage you, because many of you know me personally, some of you don't. I'd love to know all of you in the Lord Jesus. But let me just say this. I encourage you, if you're a believer in Christ, I would ask for your prayers, and ask for you to pray for me and intercede for me and seek the Lord. If the Lord ever gives you a word, gives you a scripture, don't be afraid to send it to me. I appreciate that. I will do the same for some of those that I know of you that are in the same battle of plucking some people, victims, heavy duty from the satanic ritual stuff. If you're dealing with that, listen, in the American culture, well over 4 million cases, probably around 5 million diagnosed cases of multiplicity, and the majority, if not all of them, but the majority are satanic ritual abuse. So that tells you again that there is this massive population where individuals have had these rituals done. Father Shefton, in a book years ago, said that he estimated that there were up to 100,000 covens. This is back in the 90s. So you got to know that rituals are being done to dirty the air. Rituals are being done against the church in general, church in specific, leaders in general, leaders in specific, against counselors, against the Christian work. Every kind of rituals, you know, that you can think of are being done to confuse the body of Christ, to do everything that can be done. What do? We exercise the presence and power of the King of Heaven and the Kingdom of God. We live out the armor of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God, proclaim the powerful gospel of Jesus. Jesus said he would build a church that the gates of hell, the occult level warfare of hell, the highest rituals of hell will not prevail against. Jesus backs you in your ministry as you do evangelism, healing and deliverance. Jesus is backing you. He's always there in the midst guiding, and the Spirit of God has been given to us. They may have spirit guides, demon guides. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Now may the Lord strengthen you, bless you, keep you, quicken you, and may He just stretch out His hands over you right now in the name of Jesus to deliver you from attacks of the enemy, from assignments and spells. May the Spirit of God give you special insight during this session and even right afterwards, to where you can look even backwards over your Christian life to see what the enemy's been doing and how he's been doing it, so that you can then turn around and hit back with the authority of Jesus Christ against the demonic realm. Pray for those people that are doing this. that God will deal with them, that God will save them, that God will, you know, break their powers, that God will confound what they're doing and show them his mighty presence and power, ultimately for their salvation. But we've got to be praying for the destruction of the work of the enemy. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, to destroy Satan's work. And your prayers of intercession, but also warfare prayers against, in targeted specific ways, will bring a breakdown and a destruction to the satanic plots, the demonic infused spells and assignments and so forth. Again, may the Lord bless you and strengthen you. Father, we pray together today that you just grant to us a quickening of the work of the Spirit of God to know the difference, even in all of these areas of the work of the enemy, oppression and attack and attachment and piggybacking and so forth, and occult level warfare. We just pray for a tremendous sense, God, unleash charismatic gifting and discernment of spirits. Grant us the boldness of the Holy Spirit, Acts 9:22, that we would grow more and more powerful in the Lord Jesus, and that we will be able to help people in a quicker manner and do it like you did it, Jesus, and see the compassion of the Lord and people's lives transformed by Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed, the cross where he died and gave his life. Father, we simply praise and bless the King of Heaven, and we love you. Continue to build us. In Jesus' name, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.